Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, Matt Siltala here alongside Dave Rohr. How's it going, bud?
It is officially 2020 when we're recording this, so it is going well. We all made it through the new year.
Yes, we all survived, and you know, some of us are a little bit... Actually, you guys have had fairly warm weather from what I've seen in the Chicagoland area.
Yes, we've had more days above 50 than we've had snow this winter. And today is about almost 50 degrees, and it's early January.
Very unusual.
I will not complain about it this time, because we'll probably get 5 feet of snow between now and the end of winter.
Ugh, yucky.
Well, in Phoenix.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and jump into it. We're excited to bring you another one of these episodes, guys. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about company security. And this is always a fun topic because, you know, the thing that got me whenever we were talking about this topic, Dave, was the churn rate in our industry of, you know, like what we consider a person that's like a long time veteran in our, even in our own personal agencies. Like if a person works for you more than a year or two, or you know, it's almost unheard of that they're with you 5 years or even 7 years and things like that. You know how, you know, it got me thinking about just because the amount of people that you go through and just the cycle that is in this industry, you know, how you keep company assets secure, how do you stay on top of that, how do you do the things that need to be done to make sure that, you know, just 50 random people out there within a couple of years don't have access to, like, all your socials and really screw you, especially if they leave in circumstances maybe that they themselves didn't find, you know, that appealing, if that makes sense.
No, so. It does. You said socials, by the way. I find that amusing for some. I don't know why.
Well, you know, old school.
Yeah, and this Boomer. This idea... I don't think we've talked about it. Maybe we've mentioned it before, but I know we've mentioned about like churn and stuff. The usual, I think it's a year and a half or so is for marketing.
I knew it was something like that. Like not very much.
Every year or every 2 years, there's some stat that comes out and, you know, we've been doing it for 3 years, so I'm probably using an older stat, but I think it tends to be around free. Someone in a marketing agency.
Oh, you're right. I believe we were talking about this because we were talking about how the ninjas, how Jim Boykin seems to...
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about this problem too often.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway.
And even the CMO and other people. But then there's also been stories, and we won't get into it because I'm sure we've covered it before as well. But also you can just go, you know, see Melissa or Simon speak at like one of the pub cons or any of the conferences they talk about where they talk about social media oopses. And sometimes sometimes some of their mentions are from employees, but sometimes they're also from former employees that still have access to your Facebook or Twitter or your Google Search Console. And they decide to, you know, log into Yelp maybe and say that your location is closed.
And if they have that login information, especially like on Twitter or even Yelp, like you mentioned, it's very easy for them to go in, change things, and make it almost nearly impossible for you to get access to that bag, depending on how
they could change the password.
They want to be. Yeah. I mean, they can change that. Emails that are sent to, notifications, like they can make it nearly impossible for you to get that back without having to jump through a million hoops from the companies themselves, which don't make it easy, mind you.
No, they don't. And yeah, they could easily go in, log into Twitter or Facebook or anything, change the email that's on the account. And if you don't have, you know, even if you have two level 2A, you know, and it, their phone number or it still goes to them in some ways, they could still get it. Or if you don't have it turned on because you have so many people, or if they have access to like a Buffer or Hootsuite or something like that, they could still go in and post stuff.
Yeah.
And if they have access to all those different tools, they can either do damage, you know, compromise your IP. If you're an agency, they could compromise your trust with clients and your IP and, you know, do who knows what.
Or think about how quickly stuff goes, you know, viral. I hate using the word, but like viral, like there's a reason that the word's used, but like something could blow up in a day and almost ruin you before you even have an idea of what happened. You know what I mean? Like it just could happen so quick that anyway, you know what I'm saying?
And I think the percentage of people that do this type of thing is probably less than 1%.
We might get pissed off at someone, but we're not going to go and destroy something like this. Like there's a difference. So what you're saying is totally right. But
I mean, there's still going to be legal ramifications in some cases, yeah. And people probably know that. And some of them don't care, or they just go in and log in and, you know, more of a nuisance than a legal or large problem, like going in and telling your Yelp to close.
Yeah.
Going into your Google My Business and saying, oh, no, we changed our hours, or, you know, posting something off topic or off color, or, you know, answering questions incorrectly.
Well, you know,
with the Q&A.
I read this morning, and it's, I mean, kind of related, but not, but in the same sense of the legal, what you're talking about here, that it's interesting and just drives more of the point of this kind of stuff's going to be taken more serious as the years roll on, I believe. In fact, it's one of the things that we predicted in you know, just last year. But, you know, more legal stuff happening. But I just read this morning about, if you remember that GoFundMe campaign where the two young married couple, they got the $20 of gas or from the veteran. Supposedly it was his last 20 bucks. And anyway, they're prosecuting him. And I read something like 25 federal charges or something like that with, like,
oh, wow,
wiretap or money wire laundering fraud. Like, anyway, it was insane. Like, I can't remember. I'll see if I can find the article and send it to you, and you can include it in the write-up. But it just got me thinking about that when you were talking about this, that, like, this is the kind of stuff, like, it's, you may think, okay, well, I'm just going to go and delete this page or tell them it's closed and ha ha ha, screw them. But, like, be careful, because there could be some serious legal ramifications coming your way coming soon. You know what I mean?
If you, yeah, for those that decide to, you know, screw with your company or former company or clients.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're trying to give people ideas of what to do.
No.
I'm sure they have plenty on their own.
Yes, true.
And what spurred this most recently was a couple things, but one of them was a couple weeks ago, Dennis Yu, actually, and we'll have a link to his LinkedIn post, posted a really in-depth, and it's very specific to them, a deboarding process checklist. And I think once companies get to a certain size, their IT typically has their own checklists. And if you don't have an IT department, you probably don't have this type of checklist. But it's, you know, questions that go to, you know, if it's a marketing person or a salesperson, it's like, okay, who's their direct boss? Who should I forward their email to? You know, just so that we capture stuff. What is the processes internally for taking away their access to, like, Salesforce or Moz or Search Metrics or, you know, whatever tools we use for SEMrush, Ahrefs, yeah. Majestic, whatever. Do they have access to Google Webmaster Tools, analytics? You know, do they have access to different things like, you know, whatever tools you use on your marketing team, sales team, customer service, and so on? What tools do they use, and what tools or access at the business level do they have access? Like, do they have privileges on?
Even I think of several, like in our own organization with access to financials and stuff. And I mean, you want to keep some of that stuff private, and it'd be very easy for them to get ticked off at you and make that stuff not so private. And so, I mean, you got to think of every aspect of it. It's not just like, just the what we were talking about with going and embarrassing you on Twitter or something. It's like it's all of it that we want you guys to be thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, do they have admin access to your WordPress and CMS?
Yeah.
Were they the one? Was their email address before you delete it being used for certain logins? One of the companies I work with, someone left, was it a year ago or 2 years ago? Their email address was the one that was on the marketing tool that we used.
Oh, geez.
So we had to, like, internally, they don't delete it. They just updated it. But as they were doing updates and stuff, you know, I pointed it out and they were like, oh yeah, we should probably change that. So changed the password, changed all that stuff. But how often, if you have freelancers or consultants or agencies, how often do you change your passwords?
I look at it like, you know, doing those audits like you do every once in a while on your, all your Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, or whatever, how many devices are logged in. Well, I'm going to deauthorize all these and because I don't recognize that one anymore. I don't recognize that one anymore. It just kind of, you know, you do that kind of stuff with your personal stuff. I don't know why you wouldn't take some of these.
Sometimes.
Well, you should. But I don't know why you don't take these steps, you know, especially with your company.
I think everyone's just busy and you don't think about it. But I think if you have an onboarding process, keeping track of who's given access to what and doing audits of what tools you're using, which tools you've had access to, everyone works a little bit differently. I worked with an agency in the last 2 years where they would add me to something and then text me the password. They never put passwords in an email. Or there was a shared document that I was granted access to that had logins and such like that, that, you know, through the internal systems, then I could get access to and then use that to get access to other things. But at any time, they could kick me out.
Yeah.
Because I had my own login and my own email address and everything else like that. And I've, you know, but I've also had people, you know, just grant me like God access to their analytics and stuff as soon as we're on a phone call.
Yeah.
And then I look in there in the number of people, and like one of the first things I ever always do is go, how many other people have access to at this level? Yeah. And it's, you know, scary.
It is, and it makes me laugh. It makes me think back to 20 years ago, and hopefully we've come a little bit since in company security since these days. But you know, back when I used to work at a school district, and it was funny, very easy to figure out the teacher's password for their computer when you need to log in to fix something, because most of the time they had it on a Post-it note right on their computer
screen, right on their desk or under the keyboard, or yeah.
Anyway, so. I don't know why I just thought of that, kind of funny. But so besides this list and that we're going to give you a link to, just this deboarding list that Dennis Yu has put out there so graciously, what other you know, options or what other ways do you think people should go about this process, Dave?
I think keep a list of contractors, agencies, freelancers, employees, whether you're in-house or, you know, anything, and who has access to what. You know, every tool, give it its own little column and keep track of who has access and who needs access and what level. And the other thing I would suggest is for a lot of things, use not a specific email address for a person, but create like a marketing or sales at domain,
right?
Or an additional third party kind of, like, you know, internal company blah 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 at gmail.com,
right?
That only super senior people have access to, and that is the only one that has the highest level access. Everyone else is assigned. So if your, you know, director of digital leaves, someone above them or the team would have access, or very specific people would have access to that one. But then again, you also have to keep track of who has access to that one. And you can't allow your team to go, well, I know you always need this report every month and you don't have the level of access, so here's the admin access. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everyone has that password.
How many people have it, yeah.
Or that credit card.
Oof.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, who charged this on this one? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like every year we're doing some sort of an audit like that as well, where, you know, where are all these charges and what are these for and do we still use these? And
I had to fill out all sorts of paperwork the last in-house place I worked. If I needed the credit card, I had to submit and document what it was going to be for and have approval. Like, I would have to fill it out, like, if it, even if it was just for, you know, a software thing and it was like a one-time $49 or $27 charge, I would have to know that it was going to cost that, write it down, who it was for, the date, go and get it signed, and then I could go and get the credit card from someone.
Wow. Yeah.
That was a 200 to 300 person company, and there was 10 or so of us on the marketing team.
Wow.
And to use a credit card like that, I would have to go and get approval.
Wow.
Which makes it a pain, but it also controlled who had access to the card, and they knew every charge. They could then go back to it and say, okay, we gave the card to so-and-so. Where did this one come from?
Right.
And then you're talking legal problems because you're basically stealing.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So any final thoughts, I guess, back to just what we've talked about with security in general, or the social channels, or just your financial channels, or whatever. Any final thoughts on this, Dave?
I think have an onboarding process for each team. Even if you're a small company, just say, okay, we have access to these four tools. This is the master account, and then delegate, whether it's your WordPress or Squarespace or Shopify or whatever your CMS is, delegate, and then know who has access and keep track. If you work with a freelancer, what are they given access to? How long do they need it for? Do they need forever? Is it a tool that's always connected? A lot of times I also log into Google Search Console and I'll see people that have access or granted access to tools. You can look at that in your Google account.
Yeah.
Or take a look at your Twitter or Facebook where you can grant apps access. That I do from time to time. Because for the business of digital or, my own personal one, I'm always trying different tools. Yeah. And some of them are like, oh, we need access to your Google Search Console, or we need access to your Twitter account so that we can, compare you to five other people. Okay. And then, you do it once and then you never go back. And then 3 months later, I somehow end up on that thing and I'm like, what the blank are all these things? I'm like, oh yeah, I tried this once, 6 months ago. I should probably uninstall that.
Yeah.
So do a quarterly audit of stuff like that. But I think having an onboarding and deboarding process and checklist will help alleviate a lot of possible problems.
Very good.
But you have to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a pain.
It is. And it's one of those things where all of us in this industry, we're busy all the time. And you're like, do I really need to spend time on that? Well, think about how much time you're going to spend putting out that fire. Heaven forbid if it happens. Someone goes out there and does something stupid, posts something that you don't want, whatever. That's going to take you a lot more time than the little bit of time or inconvenience it's going to take once a quarter to go and do these kind of little audits and just take care of yourself that way. So those are my final thoughts. Dave shared his. And so for Dave with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltala with Avalanche Media, and we thank you guys for joining us on another one of these Business of Digital podcasts. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.